My name is Alan Morse, and today we're teaching in 2 Timothy, and we're in Lesson 5. In Lesson 5, Lesson 4, we kind of went over our time limit, but that's okay. We're in Lesson 5, and we're going to be in Chapter 4. So open up your Bibles and get your pencils and papers out, and we're going to the last chapter of 2 Timothy. This has been a tremendous chapter, and it's just hard to even comprehend. If people could understand this chapter, they wouldn't have problems understanding the Bible whatsoever. And salvation would be everywhere. Okay, just look at chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Get your Bibles out and your pencils and paper, and we're going to get started. It says, I charge thee therefore before God. He's talking, writing this letter to Timothy. And the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing of his kingdom. When is that going to be? When is he going to come back? Let's look at this. And let's turn to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, and just look at chapter 1 in verses 8. And this is tremendously important. We'll start at verse 7. What is he doing now? This is when he's going to come back and appearing on his kingdom. When is it going to be? Well, it's going to be when he comes back at the end of the tribulation to rule and reign on this earth for the millennium. But he's coming at the end of the tribulation. And it says, you who are troubled, this is chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, verses 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, verses 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God. Who are those that are during the tribulation that know not God? That's the Jews, the ones who did not accept Christ as the Messiah. They knew not God. And then it says, and that obey not the gospel. Who are those who obey not the gospel? That's the Gentiles. They were told to obey the gospel for their salvation, but they did not do it. They did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it said. Now, what's going to happen to them? If you don't know God, or if you don't obey the gospel that I've been teaching you, that God has been teaching you through His Word, our salvation is the gospel. And if we don't obey this gospel by believing that Christ died for your sins, that He was buried and He rose from the dead, what happens to you? Shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His power, when He shall come to the glorified in His saints, and to be admired in all of them that believed what? The gospel. Because our testimony, what was Paul's testimony and Timothy's? Our testimony was believed in that day. What is that? The gospel, you see, the gospel. The ones that are there that glorify Him will because they believe the gospel. It's pretty simple. It's just as plain as day. If you don't obey the gospel, you're going to be in hell. That's all there is to it. Total destruction, everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's what the book says. Al Morse didn't say nothing about that, did he? Not a word. And how important it is to believe in the gospel? Just turn back, go to Hebrews before we go back there. Chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I bet your pastor never showed you this. I bet you didn't show any of this I'm talking to you about. But look what he says. Verses 9. Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all of them that obey Him. Have you obeyed Christ? Had you obeyed Jesus? Have you? Well, if you haven't, you're never going to see Christ. You're never going to be with His people. You're going to be in the lake of fire for eternity. That's a tough one. Okay, now let's go back to the text. We're in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. Look what it says. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of the season. What's the word? You see, the gospel. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. What's doctrine? We saw that. Doctrine is always the gospel. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They won't believe the gospel. But after their own lust, they will heap to themselves teaching and having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth. What's the truth? It's always the gospel. When Paul talks, he says truth, they turned away from the gospel and shall be turned into fables. See? It's just hard to believe it, but this is the truth. This is the latter times. He's telling Timothy to watch out for these things because Paul's not going to be around. But watch out in all things. Endure affliction. See? Do the work of evangelists. Make full the proof of thy ministry. See? Be the work of the evangelist to preach the gospel. That's all he taught. Now, look what Paul says. Verse 6. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." You see, where is he at? He's in Rome. He's in prison. He's under Nero, and he's in the death row. There's no doubt about that. He's no doubt about it. He knows that his time, his departure is at hand. He's going to be killed. And the only way they could shut him up, after all that he went through, the only way they could shut him up was cut his head off. You see. And it's hard to comprehend. What did he say in verse 7? He says, "I have fought a good fight." I mean, he did. There's no man on this earth that ever walked other than Jesus Christ. And I don't consider Jesus Christ man. He was God. He was God when he walked on this earth. There was no man that even come close to going through what he did so that we could have eternal life, preaching the gospel. Nobody. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." See? Because of his faithfulness, he has a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day. And not me only, see. It's not only going to be him, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. Love his appearing. When is that? When is that? Well, let's just turn back to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And look at 14. You see, people don't understand this. They do not understand it. But here's what it says. It says, For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. What is that? The gospel. The gospel. Even so them also which sleep in Jesus. If these people believe the gospel, God will bring with them. You see, I for my whole life thought I was saved. And I was looking forward for God to come. But you see, I didn't believe Jesus died and rose again for my salvation. I believed that he died and rose again. There's no doubt about that, but not for my salvation. I didn't believe the gospel for my salvation. I was never taught it anytime in church. So if you don't believe the gospel for your salvation, you're in trouble. It says, but if you have to believe that Jesus died and rose again. And verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout of the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." The people that have already died, their bodies are going to be rise first. You know why they're going to rise first? It's because they believe the gospel. How do I say that? Well, when you believe the gospel, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And in Romans chapter 8, verses 11, it says, "That same Spirit that was raised Christ from the dead will also raise your mortal bodies also." See? This is the time when it happens. He will rise. He will raise our mortal bodies from the dead. And we'll have a new body like His glorious body. That's in Philippians chapter, I think it's 3:20. We'll have a new body like His glorious resurrection body. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall ever we be with the Lord. You see, Paul thought this was going to happen in his time. You see, but you see, this rapture is also in 1 Corinthians 15, about, I think, 54 or something like that. It's also there. Paul is the only one that preaches the rapture. It was a secret kept from everybody. Peter, James, and John knew nothing about the rapture. They weren't a part of the body of Christ, because it's the body of Christ that's going to be raptured, see. They're going to be raptured. And it's just hard to comprehend. But that's what we're looking forward to. We're looking forward to. So, when Paul says that but unto them also that love His appearing, that's what we do. We're looking forward for His appearing. And those who do are looking forward to that, we'll also have a crown of righteousness also. I may only have one crown, but that's the one I'll have, because I can't wait for God to come. I wish it would be today. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Paul was in a strait. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he knew it was going to be soon. For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescent to the Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke. Take Mark and bring him with thee. He's talking to Timothy, see. Bring him with him, for he is profitable to me in this ministry. He is profitable in this ministry. Antichitus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas and Capus, thou comest bring with thee, and the books, especially the parchments. He says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. And he was a person who probably went into the churches and preached something other than the gospel, see. And in doing so, you know, he just wrecked the churches. They wanted to add Judaism to the churches, see. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom we are aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our word. At my first answer, no man stood with me. In other words, when he went to the trial in Rome, Paul was just like Jesus. He was alone. It's hard to even comprehend. When Jesus went to trial, he had been here for 3 years, see, and he had healed hundreds, if not thousands, of people from every type of disease there ever was. He had 12 disciples with him all the way. And when the time came, they all scattered like a covey of quail. And he stood up there and the Jews were condemning him. And there's not one of those Jews that he healed walked up there and said, Wait. This man, I was totally blind, that now I can see. And the other one could have walked up and says, Yes, I could not speak and I could not hear, but now I'm totally can hear and I can, and you know, and I can talk. And one that said, I would never walk before in my life for 40 years, and this man healed me. You see. And this man fed 10,000 people out of there with only a few loaves and a few fishes. And this man fed 5,000 people with just a few loaves of fishes. But did anybody come up and stand up with Jesus? Not one person. Not even the disciples. They didn't even stand up with the Lord. Peter, the great apostle, some churches said he's the head of our church. What did he do? He denied him 3 times. Judas, he betrayed him. But at least Judas, he repented. He took his money back that he got and gave it to the people. And he was devastated. Yes, he killed himself. He was so devastated for what he did. People said he's lost. I don't think he's lost. I think if anybody saved, of all the disciples, he probably was saved because he truly, truly repented. And God could not forgive him. I really believe that. Because all the rest of them, they just left him alone. There he was by himself. And here we go, it's the same thing with Paul. Obviously, Paul was in an area where very likely that there was very few Jews in that area, or very few believers in Rome, you know, at the time. But no one stood up with him. Not a soul. He was, no man stood up with me. But all men forsook me, and I prayed God that in my, that may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See? And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. See? To whom be glory forever and ever. He knew that he was going to be with God forever. No one knew Jesus better than he did. Nobody did, you see. And nobody went through the horrible persecution like he did. Yes, I know all the 12 were killed, all except John, and he died at his old age on the Isle of Patmos. But all the rest of them, I know they died. But this man died many times, you see. Many times. If you've been thinking about being beaten by the cat of nine tails and thrown in prison 5 times and beaten with the rods 3 times and shipwrecked and stoned to death, you know, there was never a man like him, and all he did was preach the gospel. And my preachers that of my lifetime never did want to mess with it. They put Paul on the back burner, actually shoved his messages off the stove. And that's the only place that there's salvation for a human being today. It's just hard to even comprehend. It says, salute Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesimus. Aristarchus abode at Corinth, but Thermopolis have I left at Miletus sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. You see, he probably didn't think he was going to make it through winter, but he needed his coat. Embelius greeted thee, and Prudence, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. You see. The Lord Jesus be with thee. See. And grace, unmerited favor. Grace, unmerited favor. You see, that's how we're saved, through the grace of God, what he did on that cross. We do nothing. Unmerited favor be with you. Amen. And I got a little caption here in my Bible. It says, the second epistle unto Timothy, ordained the first bishop of the church of Ephesus, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time. No person, this is the last letter, but we find that it's just phenomenal. Let's just kind of just brush through just a little bit. We just got a few minutes to go. We find that verse 10 in chapter 1, it says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality and light through the gospel. See? Through the gospel, wherein I, Paul, was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. You see, what a verse. Everything was brought to life. Our immortality, our total life, is brought to us by the gospel. You know, preachers don't teach you that. I never heard that in my life out of the pulpit. But it's the gospel, because we believe that Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And then we see the shocker that just knocked the socks off of you. Know this, verses 15, chapter 1. Know this, that all they that are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Polygenes and Humanites. These people are the ones that were involved in doing it. All those churches, the Ephesus churches, the Laodicea churches, the Colossians, the Galatians, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and all those ones that were in that were talked about in Revelation, they were all turned away from Paul by these Judaizers, these people of Peter, James, and John, who taught them that Jesus was the Messiah. They went out and they destroyed the churches. Destroyed these churches in Asia that they worked so hard for. And Paul just couldn't even comprehend it. And then we see in chapter 2, we see that he has committed, he told him, look at verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, what is that? The gospel. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. After they've already in 1 Timothy ordained ministers, bishops, and deacons, and all these people. Now, he's gone away from the church. He's just told them to go to faithful men who are able to teach others also. And then we find in verse 15, we see we're supposed to steady ourselves to show ourselves approved. As a workman needeth not be ashamed. You see, we're supposed to be involved in that. Don't listen to any pastor. No one. You get in the Bible because it's the Word of God that counts, not what somebody says. How do you know that the pastor that you've been under your whole life isn't a minister of Satan? A minister of righteousness, either. If he's not preaching the gospel for salvation every Sunday, he's not a minister of righteousness. He's a minister of Satan. And you can see that in the scriptures when you study it. That's why he wants you to study to show yourself approved. That way that you aren't going to be fooled by ministers and denominations and teachers that don't preach the gospel. Don't preach the gospel. And then he tells us to rightly divide the word of truth. The word of truth. And what's the word of truth? It's always the gospel. And that there were two gospels preached at the same time. When Peter was preaching, so wasn't Paul preaching. Peter was preaching to Gentiles. He said that time and time and time again. You see, he never preached to us. He only preached to the Jews. And who did Paul teach to? He went to the Gentiles with the gospel of the kingdom. No, with the gospel, excuse me, with the gospel of grace. And Peter went to the Jews with the gospel of the kingdom. Two different gospels, but both were true when they were preached to the right people. And that's why we can't go to the gospel of the kingdom, because the gospel of the kingdom doesn't deal with this. It only deals with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But the gospel of grace, which is given to the church, the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. And Paul was the apostle for the body of Christ. You know, and we are the body of Christ. And we become the body of Christ when we believe the gospel. And Jesus is what gave us the gospel. He told Paul to preach the gospel, you see. Paul says, I didn't get this gospel from man. I got it from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wasn't taught it by man, only by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And he said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said, if anybody preach any other gospel than which I preach to you, anybody, any other gospel, he said, let him be accursed. He said it again. If anybody now preach any other gospel to you than which I preach to you, let him be accursed, you see. And then he goes to Galatians chapter 5, and he said, if anybody adds anything to the gospel, if you add circumcision to your gospel, Christ will have no benefit from you. And then Jews were telling him, well, you've got to keep the law. And he said, and if you add the law to it, you have fallen from grace. And I'm telling you, as Jesus speaks, if you add anything to the gospel, you've fallen from grace. That's why we look only to the gospel. We don't look to believing in Jesus. We don't look to taking Jesus as our Savior. We look to believe in the gospel. Believe in the gospel, and it's tremendously important. You see, many people believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean they believe the gospel. The Muslims believe in Jesus, but they don't believe that Christ died for their sins and was buried and rose from the dead. You see? Satan believes the gospel, but he doesn't believe that Jesus died for his sins and he was buried and he raised from the dead. But you see, when you believe the gospel, you automatically believe in Jesus. Do I believe in Jesus? Most assuredly I do. I have to believe in Jesus because he's the one who died for me. And is Jesus my Savior? Sure he is, because I believe the gospel and I obeyed him. Remember we saw that in Hebrews, that you have to obey Jesus? In 1 Thessalonians, you know, chapter 8, he said, if you those who didn't believe the gospel of Jesus, his gospel, what happened to them? They went to the lake of fire. That's how important the gospel is. That's how important it is. So it's these things that we saw in here are tremendous. They're tremendous. And yes, look at chapter 3, verses 12. It says, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Are you suffering persecution for God's work? If you're not, you're not saved. If you're not preaching the gospel, if you're not teaching, you can just be fine. You just go about your Christian life just fine. Satan could care less, because you're not saved, and anybody you talk to about it is not going to be saved. If you're not preaching the gospel for salvation, you're not going to have persecution in your life. But if you do, you can glorify God knowing that you're doing the right thing. Let us stop here now and let us pray. Father, I pray that the people that heard these words that were I have spoke, that you have spoke through me. And I pray that they would hear your words and that they would understand how important this gospel is. And they would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus through the gospel. By believing that Christ died for their sins, they were buried and they rose from the dead. If they would do that, they would be filled with the Holy Spirit and you could live with them for the rest of their life, pointing them closer to you each and every day, and keeping them until Christ comes. I pray that for all those that are listening, I pray it in Jesus' precious name, my Savior and Lord. Amen.